this is actually a first for our regional board, is to engage into the budget. We have done strategic plans in the BAC at different levels past years, but this is the first where we actually try to come up with a consensus about our priorities, and then this information will be carried on to this meeting coming up Monday, which is one of several throughout the year. So personally, I'm pleased to see that our region will have a little more meaningful voice to with State Board in regard to our priorities and what our allocations are and shortfalls of allocations. So having said that, Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to squeeze in that little very quick trip I wanted to take you on this morning when technology was not working, because it equally frames our discussion about priorities, because it's a little view of and a reminder of what it is we're protecting and why that's important. So if you'll indulge me just a second, I think you'll enjoy this. It's basically a flight down the coast in the seat next to me. So this is Monterey Bay. This is Santa Cruz Wharf, Santa Cruz Harbor, San Lorenzo River outletting to the ocean. Still Monterey Bay looking south, Pajaro River, and then the bay out to the Monterey Peninsula. Lake Nacimiento, Monterey County, Big Sur Coast. Morro Bay. Morro Bay again right here, going on around the bend. And finally, last but not at all least, just southerly, Lake Kachuma, looking out towards the Channel Islands. We already heard today about an on-the-ground story. We're looking at it from way up high now, but the on-the-ground story about Santa Rosa Island, and talked about Santa Cruz a little bit in terms of marijuana cultivation. And as you can see, I had a pretty inspiring plane ride and good reminder of what we're doing here. So thank you for that.
Sorry, I have to run back and forth for a second. Okay. Just for a moment, by way of introduction. Oh, okay. I think Dr. Wolf already gave a pretty clear introduction, but again, we want to illustrate to you how our budget and priorities are aligned. We also hope to show you how staff, a little bit about how staff adjust priorities and budgets so that we are continuing to work on our highest priority water quality issues and habitat protection issues in our region. And basically today we hope to lay a decent foundation for you so that you can understand our current priorities and resource allotments so that you can engage well in this opportunity to provide future direction about budget and priorities, as Steve Moore talked to us about this morning and Dr. Wolf reiterated. I want to make sure to tell you that there is a typo in the staff report that is very important. The staff report says that the correct number of, that the number of PYs or staff resources we had in 2008 is something like 62, but that is inaccurate. We were unable to verify, so we were going off the top of our head. And then we verified subsequently, just a couple days ago, that it was 72.8, which is what we assume that we had more in 2008 than we have today. So that verifies that. So that, again, that number should be 72.8. Before I launch into just a few slides, I want to recognize Michael Thomas sitting to my right for his leadership and commitment over the past 10 years. To my left, they look a little bit alike in your peripheral vision. Sorry about that. For his leadership and commitment over the past 10 years to our vision development and strategic planning and its implementation, establishment of our priorities, and authorizing and supporting staff and considering shifts in resources to highest priorities and holding staff and program managers accountable to stay on task with those priority projects, as well as holding staff and program managers accountable to stay, to adapt our resource allocations and strategies based on effective measurements of effectiveness of our program delivery and adjusting then in response to those measurements. Thank you, Michael. It's been a long process, but it's been interesting to work with you on that. So I'm gonna run back over there now. I think we already covered, can you hear me okay? Okay, I think we already covered a couple of these points, but the why have this conversation right now, it's mostly because Dr. Wolf told me to put it on the agenda. However, there's a context for that. The board chairs from all the regions, as you heard, are evaluating and participating together to figure out how they can help secure new resources and more collaboratively determine how those resources are allocated amongst regions. We need to make a case for the new resources that are in the governor's budget to address cannabis cultivation regulation and the water quality impacts, as well as there's some additional site cleanup program resources, and we need to be able to justify the number that we think we should get and also good use of them once we get them. And then finally, we want to continue to be able to maximize the flexibility that we have already used within some constraints, but fairly effectively, I would argue, to move our resources between priorities as priorities change or are reevaluated, and to be able to participate in working with other regions and making that case statewide so that it makes sense within our region as well as between regions, and also to be able to be transparent about those changes in priority or reallocations of the resources. Oh, that was supposed to be the introductory slide. In the last 10 years, we, in fact, established a vision and measurable goals. We identified priorities and projects to achieve the measurable goals. We aligned our resources with the priorities that followed from those, or that were those priorities, and then we've been adjusting those priorities and realigning our resources in that context routinely. This is a picture of the vision roadmap that, I don't know if I have the date right, but that we made around 2008, and can take a look at the different steps, but most importantly, what I want to say is we started here. Probably we started here. Then we got to here. That was a very exciting step. And we are now always in here and trending towards healthy watersheds. Oh, this is kind of hard to read, isn't it? Well, this is the table that you have in your staff report. And it is simply the resource distribution by program. So the left is the name of the programs described in a way that hopefully you know what the work is and not with some short name like those on the org chart that we were speaking of earlier. And then the amount of resources and personnel year increments that we have assigned to those and are working in those. And we have a couple of cells you'll see Here's one. And I think that says irrigated, no? Yeah, it says it's tiny. And what does that one say? Cannabis cultivation. Okay, that's new resources not yet realized. This is an existing program, as you well know. And this note here refers to the fact that we are using a lot more resources than were originally allocated that were authorized specifically for that work. That number, I think, is like 2.8. Oh, not even that many. 2.2. So just a couple key observations. The current resource allocations are limited. We are only working on high priority work. There are lots of other things that some of them which we acknowledge or think are high priority and certainly medium priority and lots of low priority that somebody cares about but we just are unable to get to. Our staff resources have shrunk quite significantly, as we just talked about, since 2008, but we're continuing to absorb an increasingly complex and greater workload, and in that case, I'm referring to improved technology, more scientific understanding about ecosystem interactions, as well as greater aerial extent of problems and or multiple hundreds, thousands, potentially tens of thousands of dischargers in a given category, watershed, et cetera. And yet, we still do an okay job, pretty good job, if you ask me, of addressing our urgent and important problems. So our next steps will be that we can bring you more information about the budget process and approaches that could be used and explore creative approaches that you might think of for working to increase our resources where that's appropriate and needed. Just threw out a date there, maybe May would be the good time frame. I want to check the dates against the annual budget cycle so that we can figure out how to get ahead of the budget process, the state budget process, so that your input then comes early and not later after we're just showing you what we're doing. We're also going to bring up a presentation on progress and effectiveness of our current resource distribution and program implementation, and that'll simply be a look at how we're meeting our performance targets that we've set related to our measurable goals and whether we think we're moving towards healthy watersheds or not. I propose October 2016 as a potential window for that. And then finally, we'll just find the opportunities and agendize your review and direction on priorities, reallocation of existing resources, seeking new funding for our highest priority needs, and try to sync all of this with the key milestones related to the state budget process. Oh, we already talked about that. Okay. Should we go through or should we wait? Okay. All right. We have some other graphics that if you think they would be helpful to you in the discussion, we can pull up, but we'll just leave it at that for the moment. Your comments, questions?
This budget and our priorities tie to our vision and measurable goals. So I went back and looked at our, visions and goals that we have, and the last one states preventing further degradation of groundwater basins from salt. Others say preventing and reversing seawater intrusion. And when I read that, I'm like, okay, we prevent further degradation, but if it's degraded, we really haven't made progress. We just stopped it. So I'm just wondering if perhaps that language should be slightly modified, where it's to prevent further degradation, and also some little statement about corrective actions to to reverse that trend. Just like we're talking about, reversing seawater intrusion. It may appear to be semantic, but I think it's more profound than that. And we do certainly have issues of degradation of groundwater basins due to salt. So if there was a way to wordsmith that a little bit, unless, when this was written, there was some other thoughts associated with it.
Is that the one you were thinking?
Harvey?
I don't see a problem with that. We can revisit those and update them as we need to.
Because it, I picked this out of page 2. You know, we have preventing and correcting threats to human health. I think that's still spot on, right? Preventing and correcting degradation of aquatic habitat. Yep, that's...
Yeah,
I think that's great. Preventing degradation of hydrologic processes. Yes. And preventing reversing seawater intrusion. No, we're certainly working on that.
I can pull these up if you'd like. I can so that they're on the screen. And then we can talk a little bit about how or what program, identify the programs that help us achieve those, and then speak to the saltwater intrusion issue.
Perfect.
If you'd like. So the first one, as you mentioned, preventing and correcting impacts to human health. The programs that are primarily responsible for achieving that goal are enforcement, irrigated ag, national pollution discharge elimination system program. That's our permitting, one of our permitting programs, NPDES. WDR stands for waste discharge requirements. That's another permitting program. Site cleanup. Those are things like pipeline ruptures and dry cleaners, spills from dry cleaning operations, things like that. The Department of Defense, those are cleanup sites at federal facilities, at military facilities. Oil fields, it's a new program. We have a new staff coming on board to help us deal with our increasing regulation of oil fields, landfills, and the underground tank program. Those are primarily the programs that help us achieve our goals with respect to protecting human health. Preventing and correcting degradation of aquatic habitat. The main programs that help us achieve that goal are irrigated ag program, stormwater, is a major program that addresses this issue. 401 certification program, that's where we permit dredge and fill operations. Total maximum daily load program, where we establish loading to streams and aquatic habitat. Again, the MPDES permitting program, the waste discharge requirements permitting, and the non-point source program. And preventing degradation of watershed processes. The main programs that help us achieve that goal are stormwater, 401 certification, and non-point source, the non-point source program. Preventing and reversing seawater intrusion. This is a really interesting one, and I think you are highlighting that, Chairman Wolf. We don't have a program to achieve this. We have no authority to deal with this issue. Back when we were establishing these priorities and these goals, we knew that we did not have a program, but we said, nevertheless, this is a huge issue in our region, and we should figure something out. Well, that was before the new legislation that deals with sustainable groundwater management. And ideally, implementation of that legislation will deal with this problem. At the time, we were trying to think of creative ways that we could deal with it, even though we don't have a program or authority. And we were talking to the state board staff, about how we might work with them to address this problem. But since then, since we established this as a priority, we had the recession and contraction and losing a lot of staff, and more recently the groundwater legislation was passed. So although this remains a major issue in our region, we don't have a program to directly work on it or authority. The next one, preventing degradation of groundwater basins and salts. The irrigated ag program is the main program to deal with that. The nitrate is a salt. And the main source of nitrate in our region in groundwater is irrigated ag. So we are using the irrigated ag program to deal with that issue. We also have the MPDS program, which is a permitting program for discharges to surface waters. And likewise, the waste discharge requirements program, which deals with discharge to surface water and groundwater. So we're using those permitting programs to reduce salt loading to groundwater. There is also the State Water Board's initiative, the Salt and Nutrient Management Plan effort, which we've participated in. And we're actually, in some ways, a little bit further along than some other regions because we have the irrigated ag program, and we're trying to deal with that issue in some manner through that program. And municipalities are also working on reducing their contribution of salts to our groundwater basins. So I just wanted to point out that those are the programs and how they apply to those priorities.
So, you know, I'm glad you laid them all out there. So preventing further degradation and reversing the trend, mm-hmm. you know, it's sort of two separate things.
Yes.
And some of our actions, I would think, are aiming at reversing the trend.
Yes, it's, and John Robertson and Harvey Bracker jump in here, but it is extremely difficult to reverse the trend. Once the groundwater basin is degraded with salts, it's extremely difficult and a very, very long-term process to reduce that trend and to improve water quality in groundwater. Seawater intrusion, it's darn near impossible to mm-hmm. reverse that. Once that lens comes in inland, reversing it takes an extraordinary effort, and in most cases, it's not done. Those groundwater resources are lost.
So I mean, it can take decades.
Right,
sure.
I was going to say, so you got to do two things. You've got to bring the basin back into balance or have a surplus in the basin that starts to push the salt wedge back out ultimately. And you got to not have droughts. And I haven't figured out how to do that.
I wanted to add something a little more optimistic than their comments. Maybe I'm wearing rose-colored glasses, but the drought is kind of our friend here because we've had a huge influx of recycled water projects, and many of those are they're water supply focused mostly. But where we have water supply problems on the coast, we also have seawater intrusion, and it's all related. And so we are realizing now some opportunities to be able to actually maybe put some programs under that. When we wrote this 3, 4, 5 years ago, this way we didn't have the drought pushing us to that. We didn't have proposals for that kind of upgraded treatment and the will, if you will, in communities to actually replenish groundwater in the same way. So.
And, you know, and I'd like to keep this a little bit more informal because you know, I think it's about having a dialogue, so, you know, feel free, anyone, to, you know, jump in and give comments, and I think it'll be more productive than being a little too rigid in the process here.
Dr. Wolf, if I could just echo on to something Ms. McCann just said. From an optimistic perspective in reversing seawater intrusion, I think some programs have maybe a small impact there and potentially larger as we see the opportunity there. Like the stormwater program, I think it could have a real potential benefit by just perking more water. And then as we evolve that, How can we engineer infiltration as opposed to allowing natural infiltration? How can we accelerate that, you know, an engineered infiltration opportunity?
Yeah, and that ties also to direct groundwater injection, you know, the new regulation passed last year.
Mm-hmm. I have a somewhat naive and maybe frivolous comment, but and just indulge me just for a moment, because I'm new, and this is the only time I'm going to be new. But in terms of just framing some of these priorities, is there a possibility to invert the dominant paradigm and talk about promoting remediation in groundwater basins? And I feel like the maybe overly punitive language is not always helpful in identifying opportunities, so that our programs, you know, sort of discuss enhancements to things that we do have control over. Is there a possibility there?
I really appreciate that comment. I think there is. And if you go back to our measurable goals statements, they're more generic, but they are worded that way, that we're seeking clean groundwater, we're seeking healthy aquatic habitat, and we're seeking properly managed land that protects watershed processes. So we could easily convert these to be more aligned with that. We can work on that.
So I want to, if that answered your question, Jane.
I think I have a response to that as well. And if I understood your question, well, opportunities to improve groundwater quality.
Yeah, that was just an example. You know, you could talk about promoting remediation of groundwater basins. You could talk about guarding against seawater intrusion, promoting, you know, healthy watershed processes. I guess I'm just talking about, you know, literally inverting the paradigm on how we think about these things so that we're talking about more positive, opportunistic types of, you know, what we're doing is obviously heavy and heady work, but at the same time, just to the extent that we're able to recognize opportunities, sometimes, you know, words create our world, and so sometimes it's really helpful to frame things differently.
Mm-hmm. As far as the nuts and bolts opportunities to improve groundwater quality, the irrigated ag order is an extraordinary opportunity to do that. And when it's renewed, I expect that issue is going to be front and center. You know, how do we actively use this order to have it result in improved groundwater quality over time? What should that order require? Same thing with stormwater program. More and more, the stormwater program is taking on the issues like recharge of groundwater and making sure that recharge areas are protected and that stormwater is recharged back to groundwater, but it's done.
And that's a perfect example. I think, you know, stormwater is a resource, you know, where previously it was just something to get rid of or treat, but now, again, sort of using stormwater as a resource and framing it in that way is fantastic. I mean, obviously, you can flush out basins. I mean, it's going to take a lot of water, but that certainly helps in getting better water quality overall.
But I think, you know, the entire movement of water recycling, you know, is part of that too, where instead of discharging the water in the ocean, you know, we treat it, we use denitrification, and then that water is put to beneficial use in, you know, in some instance potable water, and in some instance for irrigation use. So that's all part of an effort that back in 2008, when you know, this was written, I don't think that was much of a, you know, of a front center.
And now legislation is being considered to require recycling, and there's a lot of discussions going around about how much recycling should be required, to what degree. And that didn't exist back then when we developed these.
So if I can make a comment about I want to jump back to what Lisa said on recycling in an era of drought where, and Michael, you know, the regulations are starting to be discussed as a reality. No longer is it something like we should be, but it's like, how do we? And I want to think about, I also noticed in the five goals that were developed, I think these came from 2010, correct? These were developed in 2010.
Possibly even sooner than that.
More recent?
Before that.
Earlier.
2008 to 10, I would say, in that area.
So I was also struck by the fact that we had no way, even now, to touch seawater intrusion. I went through this list, and I looked and looked and looked, and it was like no way to get there. But it remains on the list for the reasons you stated, and I completely agree with you. And I think the Central Coast region is one of those places where we have these situations are going on within our region. And we have communities coming forward. They have continued to come forward and look to us for assistance. In certain ways, we've accelerated permitting for temporary, could be extended kinds of measures to offset seawater intrusion, or at least discontinue those factors or conditions that are contributing to seawater intrusion. And I would like to see us be able to list in some way that we do have a voice in within the agencies across, you know, within our regions. We do have a voice, and we do from time to time go forward with a formal letter of recommendation, or we engage, as we did with the ISJ and now with the stipulated judgment parties in the Los Osos situation. We are engaging them in dialogue. We have asked for to come forward and give us their perspective. Where they, how did they see implementation going forward? Where does seawater intrusion come into that particular plan? And right now we're hearing a lot of contradictory views. And we've heard that all along. And so in the meantime, seawater intrusion is getting worse. So I would really like to see staff perhaps recognize in some formal way the steps we have taken so that they remain on the list of options, so that as the board goes forward, we don't have to continue to debate, should we take a position where we see a basin plan that isn't moving fast enough, or gaps in the monitoring and measuring, or other deficiencies. And I know this staff has taken time to comment in particular on the Los Osos Basin management planning process. But I think we need to define it in some way so it becomes clear to the board and to our communities that we have made it a priority, and to the extent that we can. We have boundaries on our ability to speak to this issue. But where we can raise our voice and where we can throw some additional light to say we are going to be following this because it is a high priority, I think we should be able to come up with some language around that. I'm hoping that would be my suggestion.
Okay. I have a couple of comments. I mean, first of all, on what folks have just been talking about, seawater preventing, reversing seawater intrusion being a goal in black and not having any little red letters underneath it. I mean, outside of Los Osos, which of course is the issue that's before us at most of our board meetings, there are some big areas that of seawater intrusion that have been huge priorities to folks in those regions involved on a bigger scale, principally at the foot of the Salinas and the Pajaro Rivers, and I suppose at the foot of the Santa Maria. I'm not really familiar with that one. There are some major projects at the foot of the Salinas and the Pajaro Rivers that have involved in the Salinas River injection of recycled wastewater from Salinas and the Baranda, and in the Pajaro area, treatment of water from the Watsonville wastewater treatment plant and pumping it across the Pajaro River and up to the bluffs between the Pajaro River and Moss Landing to replace pumped well water that was used for agricultural use up there and try and slow down at least the seawater intrusion. Now, in both of those basins, the Pajaro and the Salinas, ultimately, I think the biggest lifting on the preventing and reversing of seawater intrusion is going to be the groundwater sustainability plans. Because, I mean, that's really the issue. How much are you taking out and how much is there and are you in balance? And, you know, at this point, I think it's been made very clear by the legislature and the governor that they want those plans to be developed and carried out on a local level, really without our intervention until it becomes clear in some areas that they're not succeeding. So, you know, in a sense, our hands are kind of tied on that. Except to the extent that there are ways that we can, I mean, some of these projects we have some say on. They involve, waste discharge permits. I don't know if we will end up having a piece in the brouhaha going on in the foot of the Salinas River around kind of where that wastewater that's suddenly being seen as a resource to either provide fresh water, potable water for the Monterey Peninsula or stop seawater intrusion at the foot of the Salinas, you know, where it goes. So, you know, to the extent that we can, within the scope of what we're able to do at this point, I think that, you know, we should be looking for opportunities. I think 3 or 4 years down the road, as this groundwater sustainability stuff plays out, it's pretty predictable that not every local area is going to be able to deal with it, and we or some of the other regions probably will have some roles. But I think we're kind of circumscribed on that right now. Secondly, I want to speak to kind of a little overview in terms of, I mean, what we're talking about here is how we as a board help to set some policy in terms of giving guidance to staff as to how the budget is manipulated to focus our limited resources. I mean, that's our role, right? Is policy, not so much implementation. And you know, it's good and it's helpful to see this chart of what programs implement, you know, which of our priorities. But I've just been sitting up here during the discussion trying to think about, so what gives us actual tools that we as a board can use to provide some guidance? And you know, it occurs to me that, I mean, one of the principal realities of life when we have more responsibilities than we did 10 years ago and less staff, when all of the computers and increased access to data that was supposed to make everything easier are instead just in some ways adding to the workload, because when there's more data, you got to deal with it. You got to process it. You got Steve Shimmick banging on your door saying, where's my data? I mean, a lot of the time there's work that we are supposed to be doing that we're not doing. In fact, all the time, there's work we're supposed to be doing and we're not doing because we have to prioritize. You know, that was kind of our discussion during the enforcement part of the enforcement report this morning. You know, you have a little small sewage treatment plant saying, our system doesn't allow us to comply with these new requirements. Well, it seems obvious we should either change the requirements or do enforcement, but they're a teeny tiny piece of the problem and we're focusing on bigger pieces and we have two staff people to do it. So I guess what would be useful to me would be some roadmap to sort of where the flex is, you know, what the actual choices are that are being made as far as what we're going to do more of what we're supposed to do, what areas we're going to do more of what we're supposed to do, and what areas we can do less of what we're supposed to do. And I'm not sure how we arrive at that. It's a little challenging, but which one of those five priorities up there is something that we don't think we should be doing? I mean, they're all the things we think we should be doing. And ideally, we should be doing everything possible on all of them, but we can't. So, maybe I'm just segueing Lisa into her next slide here. That would be nice. But some sense of how we get a grasp on the choices that you, Lisa, as interim executive officer, and you, Michael, as assistant executive officer, and your seniors are making on a weekly and daily and monthly basis, I don't feel like we have it at this point. So it's hard for us to give intelligent input. You know, we tend to say, well, we think you should do more of this without the total grasp of what that means in terms of less of that. The second piece of input I have is on, in terms of the, you had a slide with suggested dates for input, and I guess it'd be helpful for me to know, as we try and look long, and this is not something we need to do today, but as we try and look longer term and establish this as a cyclical process, you know, of how we try and give policy input on budget, it'd be helpful to know sort of how the pieces tie together of the governor's budget process and the legislature's budget process and the state board's budget process, and how it trickles down to us, so that we can kind of backtrack back to where that input is most useful. I mean, is the input we're giving now really to the 2018-2019 fiscal year? I mean, I don't know. So that's a lot. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'd like to respond a little bit to, you know, some of your observation. One of them is that the State Water Board has offered the regions to come and give a short presentation on the budgeting process, which is challenging, because if you look at the budgeting process in Sacramento, you're talking about a very complex topic there. But that's available to us, so we could at any time this year say, yep, we'll take you on that, and having a little tutorial on that. The other point, and it relates back to the previous slide on seawater intrusion. And you know, this may not be what I'll call a very cut and dry and pure remedy or action that we can take, but I do believe that somewhat indirectly, and actually close to be directly, recycled water is one element of reversing and reducing seawater intrusion. You know, Mike gave some very good examples in the northern part of our region. But even here, you take, I know we tend to focus on Los Osos, but Pismo has seawater intrusion also concerns. And in their basin, that interacts with Santa Maria is also an adjudicated basin, and, you know, a little bit messy on how to address it. But right now, they're looking at taking the current seawater discharge of the Pismo plant, which is 1.1 million gallon a day, and upgrade the treatment plant to a level of direct groundwater injection and having groundwater wells to stop the seawater intrusion. So maybe we could put a little line item associated put to our permitting processes, you know, associated with recycled water. And this is better than having nothing.
Yeah, so the Harvey can jump in here as our MPDS permitting guru on this, but we don't have the authority to require recycling. If we permit discharges and we put limits on those discharges, but we don't really have the authority to say you can't discharge, you have to recycle it. And that's something that's going through the legislature now, and we've been asked to comment, and we do provide comments, and we say our comments are consistent that we should do integrated water resource management, and that includes requiring recycling.
But it's not any different than taking one of our permits that is listed there for a water treatment plant, where say, oh, if you're going to have a water treatment plant, we will permit it, but you have to do ABC. We don't tell someone you have to build a water treatment plant. Well, we had a couple of exceptions to that, but which are fresh in everybody's mind. But we do have permits for these facilities. They come to us and say, we're going to build a treatment plant, so Water Board, get us the permits. So what's the difference between that analogy of our area of influence and the analogy of a water treatment plant saying we would like to step up from Title 22 water and bring it to the higher level to a level of direct groundwater injection, like what Orange County is doing for different reasons.
I know, were you finished?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I know Mr. Young wants to make a comment too, but I just want to say quickly before you do that I wanted to answer a couple of Mr. Johnston's, respond to a couple of your comments and answer a couple of your questions and give you a little window into your issues. I'm happy to wait till after you ask your question. Hopefully I won't forget the answers or the questions then, or I could do that first, but I wanted to check because we kind of got talking again about recycling water, which was also a good discussion, but.
I was going to segue off of what Mike kind of raised.
Okay, all right, then why don't you.
So they may tie together. So I look at the budget issue here to me, because we've really, to a great extent, seem to have our hands tied year to year with how much we get, and it's always a process of sharpening our pencil and prioritizing all over again. And I'd like us to kind of be thinking about how we can go after more resources in the budget cycle. So that we can do all of these things that really there's overlap, they're all important to one degree or another. Now, looking at the table, what strikes me is, I can look at the right column and I see the total positions currently assigned. I need to compare that to something. I'd like you guys to tell me what has that enabled us to do year to year? I mean, have we been at that level of PYs in each of these programs from year to year? Are we keeping abreast of what the workload is? Have we been falling behind in the workload?
Yes.
And where I see we're also, taking PYs from other areas. So I'm kind of wondering, well, how has that affected those areas that are being robbed of their PYs? I'd like to see, a column where you guys just say, this is where we think we should be funded at to do the job right and to make the pitch for why. Why should we be at that level? What would we be accomplishing? Would we be able to do, kind of more enforcement? I know with our enforcement, I think it's kind of, cherry picking in a way. There's a lot of stuff that just, we can't get to because it's maybe not as important for one reason or another. And perhaps there's some benefit, to being able to go further down. That last thing that Lisa had up there, which is the shifting priorities, the colored lines. The very last one I've seen that. Yeah, that prioritization. We need to do more to to bring the lines up. So we are putting more resources on more lines, and I'd like us to be thinking about how to do that. But I need more information. I think maybe what Mike was saying, he's looking at this and he's not quite sure how to gauge kind of what we're doing and what we should be doing. And you guys have to tell us.
How to understand what the choices are.
Yeah, what the choices are, and kind of how do these items here fit into our prioritizations. Some of them are more obvious than others. Others are not. So, I mean, that would help me if when you come back in May, that we have kind of a bigger picture of this. Because if we're going to go, Jean-Pierre, and get involved with, you know, offices above us, whether it's at with, you know, Tom Howard or Cali PA or finance, we need staff to give us the talking points and the rationale and the justification for us to get more resources to do the job that needs to be done. So,
well, in the past, if I'm, you know, may say, I think, well, what I had observed is that a lot of time the budget process sort of a top-down approach.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
And it come to us, and it's like, well, make it work. So that's why we have a lot of bits and pieces in order to make it work. So what we're trying to do now, and it's going to take some time because it's, I think, a little bit of a paradigm shift, is to take more of a bottom-up approach where we're saying, okay, this is what we need. I do agree with you, you know, that we need to be on firm grounds. There's conversation also about trying to pool resources where you have common grounds, common issues, I should rephrase, between regions. I'll say this region, that region. You guys have the same issues, so, you know, maybe those efforts get pooled. Other areas where, well, this is common across all regions, so State Board is going to take on that task. There's also another item, and I am personally, I think it would help us a lot, is to become more of a web-based organization, because there's an awful lot of submittals, you know, that we do, and it's all paper done by paper, and we have you know, very talented staff spending their time shuffling through pulp and paper and, you know, having to take the information by hand. We should be beyond that. That can save a lot of time. But I was told, and, you know, help me if I'm off base, but that Sacramento is basically saying, well, that's the IT world, so we're the one who's going to help you. And, you know, you made the comment earlier that, you know, help is not necessarily coming fast enough. That ties also to the comment made earlier by Mr. Schimmick and acknowledged by Mike, you know, in regard, why the heck it takes so long to get the information. So I think that's another little piece, you know, of the IT side of technology that we need to kick that to the next level.
I want to make a few observations, and then I want to, like I said, go back and directly respond to a couple of Mr. Johnson's comments. I think this is an excellent discussion. I welcome it. I'm really glad we're having it. What I think is very unfortunate, and I didn't realize until just a few minutes ago, is that we have not been bringing you this kind of information routinely anymore. And so I don't actually, if I could be so bold, I'm not sure you have a good picture of that we are doing a lot of the things that you're asking for, and it won't be very hard for us to bring you that information. And, you know, I totally welcome your direction and your comments about it, as well as being open to changing our processes and our priorities as appropriate with appropriate information. But we used to do an annual, we called it an offsite. It was sort of a strategic planning. It wasn't formally that refined because we were working towards our strategic plan and our realignment, if you will. And in the last 5 years, we've been implementing it and adjusting, but have not been sharing that with the board anyway, in a formal way or in a discussion like this. We can talk about that later, and the past is the past. However, I just wanted to say that because I'll leave it at that for now. So, for example, though, let me just give you one example. We had a senior environmental scientist retire in December, and we collected the very important new projects along with the very important existing projects that person was doing to create a new set of duties to assign to that person. And it wasn't just what is the flavor of the day. It was work that is absolutely coming because of legislation, such as the cannabis cultivation program. So we don't have resources, but we have a great need right now to start working on that. So we're going to assign that to that staff person once that person gets in the door. That's just one example. Similarly with coordinating, since we talked so much about water recycling, coordinating recycling projects. We have many. We have, help me out here, Harvey, 3 or 4 meetings on our calendar in the next 2 months to meet with POTWs, publicly owned treatment works. entities who can't wait to tell us how much great progress they're making on their recycled water and reuse projects so that we are prepared to help give them good guidance about how to prepare permitting applications. So it's true we don't have the authority to require them to do that, but a lot of them are already working on it. And so we really need somebody that isn't just a permitter because it involves ecosystem impacts, collecting new sources of water, such as combining stormwater with municipal wastewater. And again, I won't go into too much detail there, but that's another example. As far as the budget process, I just want you to know where you are today, even though I know you don't have information to give us guidance yet. Any discussions that are happening right now are to feed into next, at 2020, what are we in? 2016. We're about to end fiscal year 20, well, not about, but soon we will end 2016, 2015, 2016 fiscal year, and fall will be 2016, 2017. All of the budgeting and all the process for 2016, 2017 is over and done with the exception of wrestling for the allocations between the regions. And that is something that this process that Chair Wolf referred to, we can still weigh in on that, and we will. So any discussions we have now is to, in identifying priorities and needs, would be to prompt input this fall for 2017, 2018, at soonest. And unless there's already research to defend those needs, probably 2018, 2019. So we acknowledge that we have a little work to do to get you caught up with us as far as the information that we rely on and the information you need to participate in those discussions. I also think we're at a really kind of exciting time because Steve Moore made some comments about the executive director of the state board's, Tom Howard's efforts to help the State Water Resources Control Board couch their resources requests so that they are sellable and desirable to this administration and consistent with the Clean Water Action Plan. And to my knowledge, that's not how they used to go. And if they did go that way and we didn't know it, meaning the regions and the chairs. So that's exciting. It's related to the fact that the chairs are planning to get together and be able to engage. And I think he also said that I was at the Management Coordinating Committee meeting earlier this week, prompting that discussion with the other executive officers so that we are caught up to the chair's effort and the statewide effort so that we can participate intelligently with our chairs and ultimately with our board. So
Lisa, I'm not questioning that staff mm-hmm. isn't doing a lot of good stuff. Yeah. You understand that?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Because I know you guys are. Mm-hmm. All right. My focus is in what's the metric that we should be using to audit you? Mm-hmm. have you been doing with each of these line items the last few years and going forward? And where should we be at? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of in an ideal world. And, you know, does that bring us up to some level that you can articulate to us, you know, the, where we'd be operating at, whether it's, you know, catching up on our reissuance of WDRs or basin plan amendments that need, you know, attention and focus. And then what else is out there that we're just not doing because it's too far out of our grasp, you know, that might be really, really creative and beneficial that might fit into some of these line items. So that really is what I'd like to see information come back from staff on, so that when we do start focusing on 2016-17, you know, we've got, you know, our full file folder filled with good stuff to, you know, go seek more PYs.
I think you meant 2017-18. I hope you did.
I was thinking, well, we're in 2015-16 now.
Yes, and it's...
But we're right... Yeah, I guess...
Those allocations are already in the governor's budget based on that work last year.
Yeah, what about 2016-17? Is that...
All we're going to be able to do for 2016-17 is present our region's needs for the new positions that have been allocated to the State Water Resources Control Board.
Already been allocated.
Right.
Already.
So that would to our knowledge, I don't mean allocated across regions yet, although there's some numbers out there. I mean have been legislated to go to the State Water Resources Control Board, and then we're going to talk about how to distribute them to the region. So we still have a great opportunity to engage in that and show them why we need three, at least, I venture to say, after Aaron Mustaine's presentation about cannabis cultivation, of the I don't remember how many, 40-something positions that are coming to the entire agency. I probably exaggerated that number, but you get the point on that. But and also how we can adjust the distribution of resources that we already have that is on your table differently if there is a will or information to inform that. At the same time, we have to start talking about what our needs are in the future. Mm-hmm. We need it now, but we're not going to get it till the future. So many of it for these other things, water recycling and
one other tool to basically get our name out there in our face is volunteering to be in some of the various committees that State Board has. And what that does is that helps us being frontline informed of issues coming up. For example, the cannabis. We have been on that task force for quite a while. Now, the benefit is that, you know, we've been well within the radar. So that's one of the little technique to have our region exposed and exposing our needs and being able to be proactively anticipating. The same thing took place with oil and gas. So what we did there is staff would participate at conference call or go to Sacramento to some of the meetings, and although we didn't have positions, but we basically invested the time to volunteer and being part of it, and that helped us securing some of these positions. And even when these positions are saying, okay, you're gonna get three, it requires constant follow-up to make sure that all of a sudden three doesn't become two or doesn't become one. So there is a little bit of that effort that has to take place. The other aspect too, and this is a little bit out of our hands, is when the legislators the vote on a new piece of legislation and regulation is to make sure that tied to that are provided the financial resource so it doesn't become unfunded mandates. So that's another area that, you know, we have discussed, we as chairs with with Tom Howard is making sure that anytime there is a new piece of legislation, if it's going to require more efforts, you know, it needs to be part of a budget.
I just wanted to sort of echo some of those points, and thank you, Jeff and Jean-Pierre, for bringing them up. In terms of just we're already sort of way behind the eight ball. You know, we're not meeting potentially all of our mandates simply because we don't have the resources. And so to the extent, as you've mentioned, Lisa, that there are these great opportunities to have more dialogue with the board as legislation gets proposed, and to sort of identify where needs might be, anticipate some of the overlap in certain areas, that would be extremely helpful, I think, for us. I mean, I can monitor legislation, but if you have a better idea, or the board, state board, has a better idea of what's going to be coming down the pike, so that we could be better advocates for you, and we also have a better understanding of, you know, whether it's indirect potable recharge or direct potable recharge or other things that we can be doing, you know, to see where ours are needed and where they overlap, that would be really helpful.
So it sounds like the lead time for getting new resources is kind of like the lead time for getting a new pump for the San Luis Obispo Men's Colony waste treatment plant. I mean, it seems like there's kind of two different pieces of what we're talking about. One is trying to be ahead of the curve in terms of anticipating opportunities to get resources and you know, being there, and that's external resources into the region. And the other is a very much an internal question in terms of being able to intelligently and constructively, rather than randomly, give guidance to staff in terms of allocation of resources, you know, so that instead of whatever catches our attention at a particular meeting we're directing staff to focus on, we are in a more informed way, you know, part of a cyclical process of talking about how we use our limited resources to do a subset of all the things that we really need to be doing. So, I mean, it seems like I kind of see two different things that I'd like to see us do today. I mean, one is I'd like to have a kind of revisit this discussion down the road with, rather than staff doing a whole chunk of work to develop a process, kind of two different things. One, staff gives us a sense of what their process is for juggling, essentially, the priorities and for figuring out, you know, how they choose what they're not going to do, which is a lot of, I think, the problem that you guys, the senior staff, confronts on a regular basis, or what they're going to do more minimally or later. And so that we can have at least a window into that process and start to talk about how we can constructively engage in that, as opposed to micromanaging little pieces of it that poke up. And the second thing is maybe to give us just that, what I talked about earlier, that global sense of the timing of all the different moving parts, so we can talk about how we would structure a regular process that we revisit each year, you know, whether it's two pieces of evaluation and prioritizing or what. So I think that's the future part. And if other people have ideas about what we should be asking staff to come back to for that future discussion that would make it richer, I think that's helpful. I think the second thing for today is, you know, Jean-Pierre and Monica are going to be in a meeting next week talking about how we involve the regions more in the budget process. And I think, you know, it would be good to hear from you what board or staff could give you today that would be useful to you in that meeting.
And we, you know, we've been working on that. Lisa and myself, and you know what you see here is sort of a you know, a summary, but there's a lot of information behind that is being put together. One thing to keep in mind also is that the future, our activities are not always predictable. For example, you know, we have had a historical drought. Well, that has changed significantly some of our priorities. You know, I take the example last year when we worked on Cambria. I mean, that took a lot of our time. That was never in our budget developed 2 years before that. So unfortunately, that's sort of a nature of what we have to deal with, you know, when you're in the environmental side of water is, you know, you have to have that flexibility. So that's another point. And then the other one, by the way, which is independent from this process we're talking about, one other thing I'm trying to get, and I'm going to do it separately from, you know, these chair calls, is that because we're in this current transition of an interim executive officer, it has been basically reshuffling around a little bit the workload. You know, Lisa does a good job, but she doesn't have a clone, so that work had to be, you know, divvied up amongst other staff. So what I'm trying to do, working with Tom Howard, is to have him agree on providing us some additional relief, at least for 1 year. And then maybe we can then build on that. But just so you know, I'm trying to get some additional help on an emergency basis.
Do we we no longer have a hiring freeze, right? So we're hire and fill any open positions? And are we actively pursuing that? Okay.
So if I could build on something that, a couple comments that kind of come together. How do we judge, you know, in the future what we will need in order to support? Some things we have an inkling are taking shape. So as Michael noted, we have recycling legislation in the works, and maybe it gets passed, maybe it doesn't, but definitely it's going to be a reality that I think is gaining in support across the state. And it's a high priority in some places, other places maybe not so much, but those are the things that we're participating in. Chair Wolf mentioned the fact that our staff participates in these committees as this work is being as the effort of understanding where does it fit and how does it work within the State Water Board system. So I think in the next iteration of this, perhaps we could include some of that work that's going on now that we have a pretty good idea is going to have some substance to it at a certain point. And so, for example, we should be looking now, what do we think, what do we anticipate? And based on your inside experience in that committee, what do we think each of the regions are going to take on relative to recycled water? What are the areas of and programs that will be affected? So let's look at these specific places where we know there is dialogue, we know there is planning, we know there's intent. And let's try to project that, because now we're talking 3 years out. Also, I want to understand, and maybe you can enlighten me now in a brief comment, or maybe going into the future with our ongoing discussion on this. But for example, how did three positions materialize for cannabis? We weren't talking about this 3 years ago. So those positions either got, as Jeff said, robbed from something else, or how did that take place? We're having new oil and gas positions. Where did those positions, how did those positions get allocated to programs that didn't exist 3 years ago?
So I'm going to take a stab at it, and maybe Aaron has a perspective, but in that regard, I think they did this pilot program out of the Office of Enforcement, and they quickly learned what the magnitude of the work is without knowing exactly what it should be region to region, just from inspections and from talking to people. And then they looked at acreage and a few other things, and they did some
fancy math, and they projected an approximate amount that should be distributed within the limits of what they thought the legislature would approve. So we might have assessed 40, 50 positions, but they probably only proposed 20. So, but I'll let Erin see if she has more detail to add.
Just to comment, that's exactly what I'm talking about in terms of the committee work that's going on right now. You're in the best position to say, for our region, it's going to take one person or one and a half PYs. That's exactly the example that I'm thinking about.
Yeah. But I just wanted to make sure you understood that that wasn't a random number. You know, it may not be scientifically developed, but it wasn't random. Am I right about that? Okay. I don't know what the other region's numbers are in the proposed spreadsheets right now, but that's still on the table to be further discussed and supported.
To add to that, I mean, we ask for a certain amount of positions, and we collaborate with the Department of Finance. They push back, so 35 is what the governor's office has proposed for statewide, and how those will be distributed will be up to the State Water Board. But I did want to add, and thank you for this opportunity to come back. The recent legislation also tasks our Division of Water Rights to do inflow stream studies in California, so they're going to need PYs as well, because that's a Herculean task. So there's going to be PYs for the state board as well as the regional boards. That's not a satisfying answer, but
How did that discussion go? You got 35 positions, did you say? Or you asked for
35? I'm being very careful about how I speak about this, because I'm a representative of the governor's administration, so we support his budget. Yes. So.
Yeah. Well, I thought we do too.
Yeah.
But I would like to know more about how these discussions take place. You know, is it you ask for X and you justify X, and they just look to, say, well, can you get by with 50% of that?
So in the case of the oil field example, we justified a number. In the most recent augmentation, there's been two budget cycles carried positions. We justified a number. They actually gave us more resources than we asked for, because at the time the legislature redirected some of Dogger's positions to the Water Board. Dogger asked for a number also. The legislature was uncomfortable with giving Dogger those positions, would preferred that they went to the state and regional water boards, and so we got an extra position out of that.
And then,
Our office and our ask was a bit pragmatic. We asked for what we thought we could get and worked on the justification to obtain the PYs. So we,
okay. You know, one thing, Jean-Pierre, that we haven't had in a long time is kind of a state of the region report. And maybe that could tie into kind of what I'm talking about with how we're doing with our line items. So, I'm glad Karen's here, and I haven't seen Karen give us a presentation in a long time. I'd like to know what CCAMP has been up to, in data. But, to me, it all boils down to water quality. All this stuff comes down to water quality and beneficial uses. And I'd like to know what we're doing year to year, so I can see and feel the trend as to where we're making headway and where we're not. And maybe we need to be kind of refocusing our efforts somewhat. So maybe once a year we should have that, or every other year. But
well, I think, and one thing we talked about is to have more of the retreat, which I understand was very successful. Where we would not meet here, but offsite, and by some time just changing a little bit the dynamics of the meeting setup. Mm-hmm. There was one that we did. You were chair at the time with Roger Briggs. I think that
at the pier? That's the last ones we did right at the pier, the Avalon Pier, right?
I think we did one loosely with Ken Harris. I just wanted you to know that the reports that I gave you links for in your the staff report for this item today were all brought to the board and discussed with the board in that kind of a forum. And there actually is a series of, there's at least one every year from 2006, 2007 through, what are we in now? Probably 2012. I think there's a 2012 report, right, linked in there. Anyway, but it's been the last 3 years that we've sort of loosened it up, not brought kind of as comprehensive of a report out. And like I said earlier, what I'm realizing is a little bit unfortunate is that the part that you have missed then is the actual implementation and application of the more strategic planning prioritization discussions that we had tied to our vision. But we can still bring it to you. I wanted to make a recommendation about, or what I'd like to offer is to provide what Mr. Johnston asked for, but layered onto it, if you're willing, a sort of straw proposal that answers some of the questions of when we would bring you specific information, what that information would be, and tie all these things into it. So when would be the appropriate time and frequency to have a State of the Watersheds report that would then inform reevaluating priorities or adjusting program work, and then how does that relate to anticipating future items so that we're ahead of bringing that into and relating those two things for future requests? And I think maybe I'm overly optimistic, but I think by May we could at least have some kind of straw proposal, and then we can, you know, tear it apart, build it back up, and make it get your input on how that might look. Starting in, I know we're not going to be on top of it for a little bit, but just have to kind of catch up, but so that we could start implementing it as quickly after May as is necessary or as you desire.
Yeah, and I agree with Jeff about the retreat and having a slight different format. You know, to
it doesn't have to be a different format, just as long as we have the discussion somehow.
When I refer to a different format, geographic location.
Yeah. And I have no preferences to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it could be just a regular board meeting that we have, mm-hmm. or an extra board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Santa Rosa Island.
Santa Rosa Island, yeah.
Well, you know, if you look at, you know, many of us are on other boards, and usually when you have a board retreat, you particularly take everybody out of their environment that they're very familiar with. So that's what I'm suggesting.
The other aspect of that that's missing in this hearing setting is that we typically have a lot more staff that join us. And yeah. Then the discussion gets very robust very quickly because people step forward and are able to comment directly about their program, their current work, and it starts to fill in the picture in a very immediate way. Right. And that's something that doesn't happen in a hearing. You know, this morning we saw a nice presentation of staff, and slowly, you know, they migrate in and out. They're trying to get work done. Yeah. So we don't have that same kind of dialogue.
It's absolutely the program managers and their staff who do most of the needs assessments, whether we're behind the curve or ahead of it, and bring that to our attention. And it's also, they are also the ones who identify the performance targets and work towards meeting those targets by adjusting their workload assignments to people and evaluating effectiveness. And so that discussion has to have them. We can't, but the three as section managers only can't really have that in an intelligent way. And Michael, with you.
And, you know, I think to sort of bring this to,
close,
exactly, because, I mean, we could go on until late tonight and still not accomplish too much. This is our the beginning of a new process. So I know we're saying, hey, we need to do this, we need to do that. I totally agree with everything said, but it's new, and not just new for us, it's new for the other regions too. So that all the other regions have probably the same, you know, challenges. Oh, okay, let's see how we're gonna approach that. You know, there's some folks who had a little bit of trepidation on how Tom Howard is going to view this. So it's all right, you know, we'll get there. So I guess I'd like to bring that back to all of us, is that I think this was, you know, a healthy beginning. I think there's some takeaways that came out of our, you know, mutual conversations here and reflections on the process. You know, I think dealing with budget is not easy, particularly when you deal with government entities, you know, dealing with budget with publicly traded companies is a whole different approach. So here we got to understand also that all of this goes to the water board, and then it goes to the legislators. So there are a lot of moving parts. So I want to make sure we don't get too, you know, discouraged perhaps of saying, okay, what's the end result of the last hour and a half? You know, I think it's a new beginning. I guess that's the way I look at it. And we do have a speaker card for this item, so I don't want to be remiss of Mr. Weimer.
Was it for this item or for the EO's report?
No, this is for this item, yeah.
Is this working now?
Yes, sir.
Keith Loud Weimer?
Clear.
Thanks. Chair of the Water Committee of the local chapter of the Sierra Club. And I just wanted to follow up on what you were talking about. Of course, my subject, as you know, is seawater intrusion. And you talked about the possibility of some sort of program. And I would just recommend that if it can't be, you know, something that's you know, enforceable, let's say, but if it could be an informal program, if need be, that where you look at the status of seawater intrusion in different areas, especially if there's interest that's expressed, because after all, it is a monster issue, and it can wipe out all of your other efforts and other, you know, and I'm speaking, of course, of Los Osos. You know, the tremendous investment you have in that basin at this point, and if seawater intrusion were to you know, destroy that investment or to make that wastewater project of no value or much less value, that would be a tremendous waste of everybody's time and energy. So I suggest that it just be an informal process where you're reviewing the status of a basin plan, let's say, and that you're making recommendations, and that's essentially what we'll be asking you to do. I also suggest that as part of that, you look at the programs that you do have the ability to affect: salt and nutrient management plans, septic system management plans. We'll explain how this affects our situation. And also, of course, stormwater is huge. So where that gets infiltrated, where recycled water gets used, the idea of keeping the recycled water of such a quality, you know, which is the point of the salt and nutrient management plan, such that it could be used anywhere and effectively, and the emphasis on, you know, particular kinds of reuse that would, through your waste discharge requirement, that would allow it to be the most effective in stopping seawater intrusion. So all I'm suggesting is, when and where that is the problem, that you look at that as a one of the criteria that you're going to be using to evaluate the overall integrated management of that area, and that you tailor those programs accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comment. So I think we can bring this item to a close.
Can I?
And I would like to move.
May I just ask a question? I suggested that I could bring in May a straw proposal process, and I wasn't clear whether that was what you would like or.
I'd like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And let's, before we totally nail that date, let's see how it ties in with the call Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I think there needs to be also some chronology, like if it's too early or too late.
Yeah.
Just want to validate that.
Yeah.